Our next guest is longtime radio announcer Tom Hahn, who taught for years at the New School for Radio and Television, in addition to a career as a voiceover artist. He's joining us just before leading a workshop on the art of voice for members of the Hudson Mohawk Magazine crew here at the Sanctuary for Independent Media. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you. It's nice to be here. I have to say one thing. I've interviewed a lot of people over the years, but this is the first time I've been interviewed by somebody.
Really?
So kind of cool.
Well, the tables have turned.
They have, yes.
So I guess for those who maybe have been living under a rock, could you give us the basics of the trade of voiceover artist? What is it that you do? What's there to it?
You make a demo. You send the demo to people that hire voice talent, and you hope they call you. Depending on what size city you're in, you need an agent, like New York City, some of the bigger markets in the country. You need an agent. They won't talk to you unless you have an agent. Maybe even have to join the union. There's a union that all broadcasters and TV people belong to. It's called SAG-AFTRA, Screen Actors Guild. They join together. Sometimes you have to join the union to get work. Locally, in a city like Albany, Troy, Schenectady, you don't need that. But if you want to do bigger markets, like even like Boston, you have to join the union, which costs a couple grand to sign up.
Jeez.
But anyway, you make a demo, you place the demo. I placed one time, and a year later I heard from these people.
Do you remember your first demo, what you did for it?
The first commercial I ever did was crouched in the pastoral setting of the Saratoga Performing Arts Center. There is a giant. Eugene Ormaday, the Philadelphia Orchestra, together, they're smashing. I remember the script because it was short, and it was my first one. People were standing in the room, about five people looking at each other and talking to each other. I couldn't hear what they were saying. And they opened the intercom and said, "Tom, would you like to do more stuff for us?" I said, "Sure." And they got me car dealerships, banks, Blue Cross, Blue Shield. I just snowballed into this amazing career.
Wow.
And it was all because of one little commercial I did as a substitute, because the guy they'd brought in wasn't working out. And the guy came down the hall in my little office as music director of the state, and he said, "Tom, you want to come try this commercial?" I said, "Sure." You know, they liked it. So sometimes it's as easy as that, as circumstances, but I have told students over the years, if you want to do freelance work, you need a demo that has enough variety in it so that everybody listening to it can hear something they like. Like six different short commercials, six different approaches, fast, slow, high, low, serious, happy, whatever. And you put that together and you make sure that people hear it. Nowadays, you don't mail anything out. You just have a website or you email it to somebody or however they want to get it these days. So it's a different ball game, but there's still work to be done out there, work to be had.
How about that?
So you'd still use the same type of methods for recording just sent over email or whatnot, right?
Yes, I sent out emails to dozens of stations years ago looking for work, and most of them don't respond. The problem with email is, as you well know, if you don't recognize who it's from, you'll probably just zap it. And if it looks like somebody's trying to sell you something, you'll definitely zap it. So it isn't good to send out demos unless you've already arranged that I'm going to send it to you, watch for it, this is what it's going to say on the title, please don't erase it, listen to it. It'll only take you 1 minute of your time. In 1 minute, you can show an awful lot about your abilities. In 1 minute, you can include five or six short two-line blurbs doing a hard sell commercial like some Speedway or wrestling or something, do a soft sell. You can do them all in 60 seconds, and it won't take a lot of time for somebody to listen to it. And if they hear, they like cut four. They didn't care for the rest, but they like cut four. So they're going to call you to do something like that. Fine. That's why you put variety on it.
Where did your voiceover trade originate?
Well, for Cirrus, it kind of originated with what I just described, them coming down the hall and saying, "Tom, can I come try this commercial? I told them you could do it." And I said, "Yeah, okay." So it was somebody else who knew what I was doing, had heard me before, and thought that maybe I can do this spot the way they liked it, and they did like. I had to cut it one more time because I said pastoral instead of pastoral, which is a word that means kind of the countryside, right. You know, pretty everything. So, but they took the second take.
Huh. Well, how about the trade in general, historically, of
there are people
voice
who have
acting
made
or
millions.
Whatever?
There are people who have actually become millionaires from commercials. I've actually talked to one of them on the phone. It is possible to make a lot of money, but around here, if you get $30, $50, $100, $200, $300, depends on who's doing what and how much they want to pay you and what the arrangement is. But still, if you stand and read a piece of copy for 5 minutes, do it a few times, even 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, you just made $50. That's not bad.
Now, what's the importance of a and this is just to give you the chance of saying something about it, but why pay anybody to use their voice in an advertisement? Why wouldn't someone just do it themselves?
I worked with a guy one time who read the commercial to me the way he wanted it to go, and I said, why don't you do this yourself? That was great. No, I don't do stuff. I want you to do it. So I tried to imitate what he did. But most of the people that produce commercials they're not voice talent. They're writers. They're producers. So they hire people that do it the way they want it done. And the genius, I guess, the gift is to be able to impart to your voice talent how you want it to go. I've had guys that say, just do it a few times. I'll know it when I hear it. You know, do it a few times different ways. Give me one that's high. Give me one that's fast. Give me one that's funny. Give me one that's not so funny. Give me one that's serious. Give me different reads on the thing. It's like saying, take example, a station's image ID, like PIX 106. How many different ways can you say PIX 106? PIX 106.
I won't say it at all.
PIX 106. PIX 106. How many different ways can you do it? And which one do they like? I like cut 8. Okay, fine. You got it. But you give them a variety. It's the ability to do variety that helps. Give them choices. What else would you like to know?
Now, this kind of leads into your experience as a teacher. Is that the kind of thing that when someone comes to you to learn voice acting, that's the sort of thing you coach them on? Is it a similar rundown of moods and speeds?
Well, yeah. The school I taught at from starting in 1980 until this year, 35 plus years, the course is a complete course in all aspects of radio broadcasting, even includes some TV broadcasting. So it's not just voice work, it's learning the technical stuff, operating a console, how the music is played. There's all kinds of things to remember. Now it's all computer, so you have to understand how the computer sets up the commercials and so forth. But it's a 620-hour course. It takes about 6 months to get through it. So it's not just sit down with me and we'll do some voice stuff, although I've done that too. That's a significant part of the course. I've done some private instruction with certain people over the years, just one-on-one. I'll meet you at 4 o'clock. We'll do some stuff, do it twice a week. But most of the time, it's class. And a class of, say, 8 or 10, I'll work with each student individually for about a half hour during that day. Everyone comes in, they leave, somebody else comes in, and we work for a half hour or so.
And when you meet a student for the first time, I mean, can you tell if they have the knack, or is it something that people learn over
usually,
time?
Usually. Yeah. I can usually tell pretty quick. I've had kids come in to look at the school, and I say, read this thing for me. And some will say, no, I'm not going to, you know, they're too nervous to even read it. Some will just charge right into it and read it, and I'll play it back for them, and I say, that was you. They've never heard their voice before. They're, wow. I said, you got what it takes. We used to audition people before they apply, who would accept them in the school.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You have to do a little reading, a couple of commercials, and see how you are. The idea is, I don't want to take your money if there's really no hope for you in terms of a career. I mean, some people just are not going to, the competition is too keen, you know? So I could take your money and say, yeah, I'll make you a star, but that wouldn't be fair if you don't really have something going.
Would you say this is a very competitive job set?
Oh, yeah. More competitive than ever because computers. You can sit at home now, like I did for years, sit at home. Don't have to get dressed. Sit at the microphone. They email me the copy. I record it. I mail the finished commercial back to them, and I'm done.
Wow.
But everybody can do that now. And that's part of the problem that we have, is that everybody with a computer and a microphone can theoretically do commercials, but are they any good? Do the clients like what they did? Or are they going to say thank you very much and go hire somebody else and redo it? I've had that happen too.
I think that's all the time we have for this, but thank you so much for stopping by.
Sorry I talked too much.
No, it was wonderful. You talk beautifully.
Well, thank you.
That was longtime radio announcer Tom Hahn, who's in the process of helping us with our own skills as fresh radio voices.